All right, Jabba, say good morning. So we left off. Today's daf is Tesvov. We left off on Yud Dalid Amud Beis. So we left off. We started Tan Rabban already, right? We left off with Amar Rebbe Lozer. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom, middle of the line. But Amar Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Lozer said, Ein Adam Chashav Ra'ui. A chashuv person, an important person, should not prostrate himself. Remember, again, when they speak about prostration, they're referring to a form of tefillah. Literally, they'd prostrate themselves fully on the ground. So the Rebbe Lozer says a person, an important person, should not do prostration unless, of course, he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer him, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and answered Yoshua bin Nun. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rashoi lipo apanov levazos atzam v'fnei atzibor, because the act of prostration is one that literally could potentially demean his covet in the eyes of the tzibor. She'im lo ya'ane yecharfuhu. As well, say what happens if a person engages in this incredible display of prayer and then is not answered, so it will erode his standing within the eyes of the community. Kach shamati, ela im kein yodin bo shu chashiv ki Yoshua, shema kadosh baruch hu kum l'cha lama ze ata nofa apanecha. So we'll say here, now the Gemara quotes the pasuk. The Gemara says, Shine Emar, Vayomar Shema Yoshua, God said to Yoshua, Kum Lecha, get up, Lama Zata Nofa Apanecha, why are you falling on your face? Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, Yoshua, there's no need to prostrate yourself, for I've already decided to answer your request. So the Gemara says, therefore, based on that, a person should not engage in Kipisha Daim V'raglaim, unless, of course, he's sure that he's going to be answered like Yoshua ben Nun. So the Gemara goes, right, Va'am Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Lozer said, Ein Adam Chashav Roy Lach Gorsak, Similarly, an important person should not don sackcloth. So we'll say sometimes you can still see this today, that in periods in Eretz Yisrael where there's not enough rain, there are these groups of men that gather by the kotel, and they daven, and they literally put on sackcloth. So the Gemara says that a person should not go ahead and put on sackcloth to daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless, of course, he knows he's going to be answered like Yehoram ben Achav. Shene emar, vahi kishmoa hamelech es divrei ha'isha. It was when the king heard the words of the woman. Vayikras begadav, he tore his clothing. V'over alachoma, he was walking by the wall. Vayar ha'am, and the people saw him. V'hine asak al bisaro, and the sackcloth was on his flesh. So we'll say, it's very interesting. Yehoram ben Achav was not a good guy. He was not the tzaddik by any stretch of the imagination. What the Gemara is relating over here with this particular episode in Navi, he's quoting over here the pasuk from Malachim Beis. This particular episode in Navi dealt with the following situation. There was massive famine in Eretz Yisrael, and a woman came to Yehoram ben Achav with a complaint. What was the complaint? That two women had arranged that they were going to go ahead and kill their children, and they would divide up the meat from between the children. And one woman came to the other saying that her fellow reneged on her side of the bargain. And Yehoram ben Achav was so shaken by the testimony of this woman, that literally that's where famine. And also, you know, again, when you get to situations like that, it's much more than just simple hunger. It's something much more profoundly broken within society. When Yehoram ben Achav heard this, he davened before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even though he himself was not such a great guy, at the end of the day, that tefillah that he engaged in was so sincere and so profound that the Gemara holds it out as a model. Don't go ahead and don the sackcloth unless, of course, you are going to be as sincere as Yehoram ben Achav. Bam Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar said, Lo akol b'kriya, v'lo akol b'nefila. Not everyone is answered by rending their garments, and not everyone is answered by prostration. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila. Moshe and Aaron, their tefillos were answered when they prostrated themselves before God. Yoshua v'Kalev b'kriya. And Yoshua and Kalev were only answered once they tore their clothing. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila. Where do we see that Moshe and Aaron were answered with prostration? D'chsiv v'yipal Moshe v'Aaron al pneihem. Because the Torah says that Moshe and Aaron fell on their faces. This is talking about by Parshas Kot, by the Meraglim. Yoshua v'Kalev b'Kriya. How do we know that Yoshua and Kalev were answered with the rending of their garments? T'chsiv, v'Yoshua b'Nun, v'Kalev b'Yefuna, karu b'Gdehem. So the idea is that Moshe and Aaron are answered by God when they prostrate themselves. Yoshua and Kalev are answered by God when they tear their clothing. So the Gemara says, Maskef Rabbi Zeira, v'Yitim Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So Rabbi Zeira raises a contradiction, and others say, Yoshua Bar Nachmani, Ihava k'siv Yehoshua k'dika amrit. If the pasuk would have said Yehoshua benun v'kalev ben Yefuna kara b'gdim, I would have agreed with you. Hashta d'chsiv v'Yehoshua, but once it now the pasuk says v'Yehoshua. Now we'll say that vav is the vav hamosif, right? It's the vav. It adds on from that which was stated previously. Hava ha of it. It teaches us that what? That Yehoshua did both. Yehoshua tore his clothing and he also prostrated himself. Rabbi Lazar says similarly. Lo akol b'kim, lo akol b'shtachavia. This is very interesting. In the Messianic era, Yemos HaMashiach, so the nations will pay homage to Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Lazar says, some will stand up for us, and some will prostrate themselves before us. Melachim b'kimah, the Gentile kings will stand up for Klal Yisrael. V'sarim b'shtachavia, and the Gentile nobility will prostrate themselves. Melachim b'kimah, how do we know that kings will stand up for us? T'chsiv, ko amar Hashem gol Yisrael kidosho. So said God, the Redeemer of Israel, of their holiness, Taf of Tesvav. So he quotes over here again, this pasuk. This pasuk, by the way, is from Yeshaya. So the pasuk says, Livazet livzo nefesh, to those who are literally degraded of soul, Limitaiv goy, those who are despised among the nations, Le'eved moshlim, those ultimately who serve the servants, Milochim yiru v'kumu, one day, and again, Yeshaya is referring to the Messianic era, one day, the kings will see them, a reference to them being Kal Yisrael v'yuk v'kumu, and will stand up, v'sarim v'yishtachavu. How do we know that the nobility will prostrate themselves? D'chsev, sarim v'yishtachavu. Maskif Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira says, one second, v'tim Rabbi Shmuel Rachmani, iha v'ksev, v'sarim v'yishtachavu, k'dika amrit. So if it would have said Vissarim and the nobility will bow down, I would have agreed. Hashla dechsev sarim yishtachavu. But now that it says sarim yishtachavu, havaha of it, it means that the nobility will do both. While the kings will just go ahead and stand up, the nobility, which is one rung down from the monarchy, will both stand up as well as afterwards prostrate themselves before Klal Yisrael. Both says a very beautiful Gemara. Amrav Nachem Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachem Bar Yitzchak said, Af ani omer, so too I say, Lo hakol leora, v'lo hakol lesimcha. Well, this is very profound. In the world to come, in olam haba, not everyone will receive the light, and not everyone will receive the joy, simcha, that the world to come has to offer. Listen to this. Tzadikim leora, the righteous will find the light, v'yisharim lesimcha. And those who are just, will find simcha. And I will say, it's actually interesting. The way that many of the Mefarshim understand is that simcha is higher than ora. Simcha is higher than ora. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that tzaddikim, the righteous, yes, will have beautiful light. But to be a yasher, to be a just person, an upright person, an honest person, just a good person, a mensch, so that's even a higher level than tzaddikim. So the tzaddikim will have light, but the yesharim ultimately will have simcha, will have joy. And I will say, if you think about it, it's a little bit of quid pro quo, because very often, to be a yashar comes with incredible expense in life. It could come with financial expense, but it also comes with a lot of other expense, because very often when you're a yasher, you have to bite your tongue, you have to hold back a little bit, and there's a lot of angst that's generated in the kishkas of people who try to be yasher. So the schar for that is, in Yiratz Hashem, you'll have an eternity of true simcha. And where does he call this from? The chsiv, or zarua latzadik, literally the light is sown for the righteous, ul yisharim simcha. And ultimately, for the upright, for the yashar, for the straight ones, they will have simcha. Dechsiv, ulishrelev simcha. To those who are literally straight of heart, they will have simcha. Hadron alach me'emasai. Seder ta'anios, ketzah. So we'll say now, here's what we've established in the first, well, we've established many things in the first parak, but among the things we've established is the order of the fast days. So remember, we have a total of 13 fast days broken up into three different parts. First three, second three, last seven. And remember, again, they increase in intensity and severity as the fast days progress, which is obviously logical, because remember, the only reason the fast days progress is why? There's no rain. So obviously, the longer we go without rain, the more dire and severe the circumstances become, and the more the issues need to be addressed. So we ended up in the previous paragraph speaking about the last set of 7 days, where again people are not bathing and the food stores are closed. The Gemara is going to pick up with this. The Mishnah is going to pick up. So say they're Ta'anios Ketzad. So we will see which fast days the Mishnah is actually referring to. But Bepashtos, it's referring to the last seven. So Ketzad, how are they set up? Motzin esatev l'rechov v'shalira. So if you can imagine this scene, they would take the Aron Kodesh out to this to the main street of the city. V'nosten efer makla agabe ateva. They would place ash on top of the mizbeach. Uberosh hanasi, uberosh av bezdin. And they would also put ash on the head of the nasi. So also remember, once the monarchy ended, so the nasi was the head of the Jewish people. Again, they tried when possible that the nasi should be from the Davidic line as well. So they would put ash on the head of the nasi. Barosh av bezdin. So the av bezdin again is the guy, right? Not the guy, but the office right beneath the nasi. Literally, the head of the bezdin, head of the Sanhedrin. Uvechol achad ve'echad nosim barosho, and everybody puts ash on their own head as well. Hazokin shebahen omer lifnehen divrei kivushin. So we'll say the ranking elder would go ahead and would recite divrei kivushin. Literally means words that capture the heart. So he would try to inspire them about the need to really take these fast days seriously. And what would he say? He said, Achenu. He would say, my brethren, which I will say, by the way, is such a profound idea that he starts out, brethren, right? Because what was he trying to say? Again, he's about to give Musar, but the best way to give Musar is to be able to say, you know, we're all in this together. It's not me talking down to you. It's all of us having this discussion together. Achenu, my brethren, lo ne'emar ba'an sheninvei, vayar elokim es sakom ve'es ta'anisam. When it comes to the people of Nineveh, remember again, Nineveh is the city in the book of Yonah, that ultimately Yonah is dispatched to go ahead and tell them, Ba'od arbo'im yom v'ninveh ne'apachas, that in 40 days the city of Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And that sparks a major tshuva movement in Nineveh. So this Zakein, this elder says, you know, when it comes to Nineveh, the Navi doesn't say that God saw their sackcloth and God saw their fasting. Rather, what does it say? Ela vayar elokim es ma'asehem. Rather, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw their actions in that they repented from their negative ways. So what the elder was saying is, and also it's a very profound idea, that the fast day is really not about the fasting. The fasting is to be a vehicle to be able to spark a tshuva movement. But if all it is fasting, the absence of just eating and drinking, that is not a successful fast. Because at the end of the day, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw by Nineveh is that they changed their ways. And again, he quotes over here the pasuk from Yoel. Literally, tear your heart. And don't worry about tearing your clothing. So again, the Navi is saying that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything is an internal process, much more than any kind of external process. So then they would go ahead and they would daven. So remember again, dramatically also, the Aron has been moved out of the shul and is now in the street of the city. So the entire community is gathered together, davening together in the street. Who would daven? Amdu b'tfila, moridin lefnei ateva, zokein v'ragil, v'yeshlo banim, u'beso rekam. So we'll say, this is amazing. So who would be the bal tfila for something like this? Zokein, someone older. Ragil, someone who was accustomed to davening. Rashi says, Ragil lehispalel utfilaso shigura befiv velo yita shekol chazin shetoa simin ra lesholchav. It was a very incredible responsibility for chazanim. So ragil means someone who davened on a regular basis. Therefore, again, he was familiar with the tfilos, and also so that he wouldn't make mistakes when davening. And banim yeshlo banim, he has children. Beiso Reikam. Rabbi said Beiso Reikam literally means that his home is empty. Now, there are two ways to understand this. Look at Rashi. He says, Mashma dehu ani ve'ein lo michya bebeiso. So, simple pshat is, he's poor. He's poor. He has a family, he has children to support, and he does not have food at home. I will say, all of us know that the most powerful prayers are ones that are recited in states of incredible desperate need. So you put a Baal Tefillah up there who's not just davening because he has a nice voice or he has nice nigunim, but literally he needs that rain because he has to feed his children. That's a Baal Tefillah. Rashi brings down another interpretation as well. He says, "Gemara mefarish time achrina v'gufa naki me'averos shelo chata v'lo yatsa alav shum shem ra b'shum avera." Rashi also interprets that beso could be a reference to what? To his body. That beso rekam, his body is empty, meaning he has no sins. Obviously, we'll say no sins means no sins that people know about. The idea is that he enjoys a good spiritual reputation. Okay, and what happens? Kadeshiye libo shalom b'tfila. We want these qualities. He should be a zakein, he should be a ragil, have children, empty house, either of averos or again poor, in order that his heart should be complete with the tfila. Va'omer lefnein esrim va'arba brachos. And shmona esrei of a fast day. And again, also remember, we saw already in the previous parak, and we'll discuss in this parak as well, which fast days get the special 24 bracha shmona esrei. Is it the first six? Is it just the last seven? Is it maybe not the first three, but the second three and the last seven? That we'll see. But we say 24 brachas. What are the 24 brachas? Yudcha shebechol yom, the 18 brachas we say every day. Obviously, this Mishnah is referring to before the institution of the 19th bracha of Shmona Esrei V'Olam HaShinim. So the 18 brachas that we say every single day. Umosif alein od sheish. And we add on another six brachas. And what are they? Ve'eluhin. Zichronos shofros. We add on the bracha of Zichronos. The bracha of, which again I will say, is the same bracha of Zichronos from Rosh Hashanah. Right? That God remembers everything. Shofros, which is the bracha that discusses the power of the shofar. And furthermore, we add on the following ideas. El Hashem. El Hashem batzarasali karasi vayaaneni. We add on Kapitel Kuf Chaf 120, which discusses to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've cried out in my tzar and he has answered me. We add on Esa Einai Ela Harin. I lift my eyes to the mountain from where will my salvation come. Kapitel Kuf Chaf Aleph. Mi ma'amakim kirasicha Hashem. I call from you to you from the depths. Kapitel Kuf Lamid 130. Tfila la'ani kiyatov, a tfila of the poor person when he wraps himself. Again, that's also Tehillim Kuf Beis 102. Or Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, and the Rebbe said those are the supplemental brachos. We actually make each of those kapitlach into a bracha. So the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo hayotzarech lomar zichronos to shofros. You don't have to say zichronos and shofros. And we'll discuss why that is in the Gemara. Ela omer tachtein, rather, what should you say? You should add an additional psukim. Ra'av ki yihye ba'aretz. Here's quoting over here the pasuk from Malachim. Davar ki yihye ba'aretz, excuse me, ra'av ki yihye ba'aretz, when there'll be a famine in the land. Dever ki yihye, or there'll be some kind of pestilence. Then you add in afterwards, he quotes now from the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Asher hayu dvar Hashem el Yirmiyahu. Al divrei habatzoros. These are the words of God to Yirmiyahu regarding literally the famines. Va'omer chosmehen. And you add on an additional bracha to conclude each of those brachos stated. And what do you say? Al rishona for the first bracha. The ending is Misha'ana es Avram Bahara Moria, Hu Ya'ana Eschem, V'yishma Bekol Tza'akaschem Hayom Azeh, Baruch Ato Hashem Goel Yisrael. So for the first additional bracha you add on, he who answered Avraham Avinu and Hara Maria by the Akedah, he will answer you. He will hear the sound of your cries on this day. Blessed are Kashua, you are the source of all blessing, Goel Yisrael, Redeemer of Israel. Al Ashniya, for the second bracha, the conclusionary bracha is Ma'hu Omer, Mishanes Avsenu Al Yamsuf, Hu Ya'ane Eschem, he, God, who answered our forefathers at Yamsuf, he will answer us. V'yishma kol tzakaschem, he will hear the voice of your cries. Hayom hazeh, on this day. Baruch ato Hashem, zocher hanishkachos. Blessed are you, God, or God, you are the source of all blessing, the one who remembers all that is forgotten. Al ha'shlish is for the third bracha. Hu omer mishanes Yehoshua b'Gilgal, hu ya'ane eschem. He who heard Yehoshua in Gilgal, which Rabbi said was by the episode of Yericho, he will go ahead and he will answer you. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem, he will hear the sounds of your cries. Hayom ezeh on this day, Baruch Ato Hashem shomea terua, God who hears the cries. Al Revias for the fourth bracha, who omer mi shanes Shmuel b'mitzvah, hu ya'ane eschem v'yishma b'kol tzakaschem hayom ezeh. He who heard Shmuel in mitzvah, this is when Shmuel was leading the Jewish army against the Plishtim. He who heard Shmuel in mitzvah, he will answer you and he will hear the voice of your cries on this day. Baruch Ato Hashem Shomei Tzaka. Blessed are you, God who hears cries. Alach Hamishas for the fifth bracha, who Omer, Misha'anes Eliyahu b'Harak Karmel, who Ya'aneh Eschem, he who heard Eliyahu in Harak Karmel. I must remember what happened in Harak Karmel. That was the big showdown that Eliyahu HaNavi had with the Nevi HaBaal, the prophets of the Baal. So he who heard Eliyahu on Harak Karmel, who Yaneschem, he will hear you. Vishma b'kol tzakaschem, he will hear your cries. Yom Hazan, Estei Baruch Ato Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Blessed are you, God, who hears prayer. Al Hashishis, for the sixth bracha, who Omer, what's the conclusionary phrase, conclusionary bracha? Misha'ana es Yonah mimei hadaga, he who heard Yonah in the belly of the fish, after Yonah was swallowed up. Hu Ya'aneschem, he will hear you. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem, and he will hear the sounds of your cries. Hayom ezeh on this day. Baruch Ato Hashem ha'oneh be'eis tzara. Blessed are you, God, who hears again in times of distress. Al Hashias, Nabal said this in the Akasha, because interestingly enough, the Mishnah adds in now a conclusionary phrase for a seventh bracha. What's the only problem? The only problem is the Mishnah said we only add on six in the fast day Shemona Esrei. So again, we'll see in the Gemara what to do with this. So Al Hashias, Omer, for the seventh bracha, he says, Misha'anez David that Shlomo ben Obi Yushalayim. He who answers David and Shlomo, his son, in Jerusalem, Hu Ya'aneh Eschem, he will answer you. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem, and he will hear the voice of your cries. On this day, Baruch Ato Hashem Hamerachim al Haaretz, he who has compassion on the Narbosai. Just by the way, you'll notice if this. Why does this sound familiar? Slichos, right? We say this. We have a whole paragraph called Misha'ana. Misha'ana. And I will say, amazingly enough, that is taken from this Mishnah. So I don't know historically who put that together, but what they clearly did is they used this Mishnah as a springboard. We added another couple of Misha'anas, but amazingly enough, just gives you a new appreciation, that tefillah comes from the actual tefillah of a Tana Sibor. Quite amazing. Ma'aser, there was an episode. Everybody said, you'll notice that it's also a very long Mishnah. The Mishnah goes all the way down, which is nice. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ma'aseh, Bimi Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chanina ben Tragium. There was an episode with Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chanina ben Tragium. Sha'avar bi'echa lefne ha'teva, the Gemara sabracha kula, v'lo anu achrav amen. So Rabbi says, it once happened, I guess, in front of Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chanina ben Tragium. Rabbi says, again, when Rabbi Chanina ben Tragium, by the way, we know him, why? He was one of the Asar Harugei Malchus, which is important also because what this does is it frames the story post-Beis HaMikdash. Remember, again, Rabbi Chanina ben Tragium dies during Hadrianic persecution, which really begins after the Bar Kokhba rebellion. So it dates when this episode is happening, and that's important. You'll see for the following reason. And what happened? Somebody was davening. Somebody was davening before the ark, v'gamar es habracha kula, and he finished the bracha, meaning one of the, Rashi says, kol osa bracha atzma, one of the additional brachos for the fast day. And what happened? V'lo anu acharav amen. And they did not go ahead and answer amen. The populace did not answer amen after the bracha. Instead, what did they say? They said, baruch hu uvaruch shemo. Right, Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, or others say it's Baruch Hashem the Olam Amen the Amen. We'll see in the Gemara. They gave some type of other answer. Tiku Kohanim. Then what happened? Then the person who was leading the davening, not the Chazan, but the person who was, Rashi says over here, Chazan Hakneses. Remember, Chazan Hakneses over here doesn't mean it's the Gabbai. Chazan Hakneses is the Gabbai. So what happened? So the Chaz and Rashi says over here, Chaz and Akneses, Omer Lehana Kol Bracha Ubracha, V'ashamish V'lo Shliach Tzibor. So it's not that, remember, the way in Talmudic literature we refer to what we call today the Chazan is the Shliach Tzibor. Chazan for our purposes means the Gabbai. So the Gemara says the following. So what happened? The Gabbai would say, Tiku HaKohanim V'Tiku. he would call out, go ahead and blow the shofar. Because remember, again, we'll see that blowing the shofar was also part of the tefillos of Tanis Sibor. So he'd make an announcement, blow the shofar. Mishanes Avram Avinu Bahara Moria, Hu Ya'ane Eschem, V'yishma V'kol Tzakaschem Hayom Hazeh. And what happens then? They would say the bracha. He who answered Avram Avinu Bahara Moria, he will answer you. He will go ahead and hear the voice of your cries on this day. And then again, the Gabbai would say, Hariyu b'nei Aaron Hariyu. Sons of Aaron, blow the shofar, blow the shofar. Then they would say next bracha. Mishanes Avosina Yamsuf, Hu Ya'ane Eschem. So they'd go through all the brachos. He who answered... He will answer your forefathers Ayam. So if he will answer you, Vishma Bakol Tzakaschem, he will hear the voice of your cries. Hayom is on this day. So we'll say they would do this bracha after bracha after bracha. So there were two things that were happening over here. Number one is that, again, the chazin, the gabbai, was announcing to blow the shofros after each and every bracha. Remember, again, the 24 brachos are not something that you daven in your personal Shemoneh Esrei. The 24 brachos were only said when? In Chazaras HaShatz. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah tells me that in Chazaras HaShatz, first of all, two things were happening. Number one, that after each bracha, the gabbai would announce to go ahead and blow the shofar. That's number one. And number two, what was happening over here is that they were not answering Amen. Instead, they were giving some other answer, either Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo, Baruch Hashem, the Olam, Amen. The Amen will see in the Gemara what the possible answers were, but they weren't answering Amen. So the Gemara says, Ukishabal davar itzach hachamim. And when this style of davening came before the Chachamim, Amru, the Chachamim said, Lo hayu noagin kein, ela b'shar mizrach u'bahar abayis. They would only do this in Shar Mizrach, in the Eastern Gate, on the Har Habayis. In other words, what they said is, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we answer Amen to Brachos. The only time that there were other answers, that there were other responses to Brachos other than Amen, is inside of the Beis HaMikdash. But now that we don't yet have, again, the Beis HaMikdash, so we do not go ahead and give these more prolific answers, rather we just simply keep it at a simple Amen. Okay, Shabbos say, interestingly enough, this was happening in front of Rabbi Chalaf, Rabbi Hanina ben Trajon, so whatever reason, they didn't seem to have such a problem with it, but interestingly enough, the other Rabbanim said, no, we don't do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Fine. Shalosh Ta'anios HaRishonos. So now the Gemara is going to go through the impact of the fast days on the Kohanic shifts. Remember, again, just word of introduction, we know that there are 24 Mishmoros. There are 24 groupings of the Kohanim. Each mishmar was divided up into what we call seven Batei Avos, which means, again, seven families. Seven families. So each mishmar served a week. Each Beis Av, each family served one day of that week. Okay, so now that we know that, the Mishnah says the following. So, Anshei Mishmar, Mis'anev Lo Mashlimin. So I will say, again, the Anshei Mishmar. Anshei Mishmar refers to the people who are on call that week, but it's not their day. It's not their day. So those individuals, if there's a communal fast day for rain, so they go ahead and they fast. V'lo mashlimin. I will say, mashlimin means that they need not fast until the end of the day. That sometimes shortly before nightfall, they go ahead and they break their fast. Rashi says over here, Rashi says, V'lo mashlimin, sha'adayin einan chamurin kolkach. So we'll see, this is referring to ultimately the first set of fast days. So because the first set of fast days are not as intense, the people who are on call that week, again, not the people who are on call that day, the people who are on call that week fast, but they don't have to complete the fast till the end. Instead, they break their fast sometime a little bit before nightfall. And Rashi points out over here, Mefar Bigmar Mefari Shama Tichba Shema Tichba Havod al Anshe Beis Av. So we'll say, interesting, we'll see later on that there were times where if there was a heavy volume of karbanos, the Beis Av, the family that was on call, that was working that day, would sometimes need the assistance of other families. In order to ensure that the other families of Kohanim would be ready to pitch in if necessary, they were not asked to fast the entire day, but rather they were asked to fast the majority of the day and would break their fast sometime before nightfall. Fine. Shalosh Shnios. But I will say this only for the first set of fasts. Shalosh Shnios. In the second set of fasts, and the Kohanim who were working that day, meaning that they were literally working, that was their day, lohayu misanin klal. They would not fast at all because they were supposed to be occupied with the avoda. That's the first set of fast days. Shalosh shniyos, what about the second set of three fast days? Anshei mishmar misanin umashlimin. Supposed to be the people who are on call, meaning who have to be in the Beis Hamikdash that week, but it's not their day. They fast the entire day. The people who are on call that day, misanin velo mashlimin. They fast, but they need not complete the fast in its entirety. They break the fast sometime before nightfall. However, sheva achronos, when you come to the last set of seven fasts, which are the most intense, elu v'elu misanin umashlimin. Now we'll say the halach is that what? Everyone fasts. Everyone fasts the entire day. Both the what we call the anshe mishmar, as well as the anshe beis av, divrei Rabbi Yoshua. These are the words of Rabbi Yoshua. V'chom necham say no. Shalosh ta'anios harishonos, elu v'elu lo hayu misanin klav. Chom have a different approach. Chom say, the first set of three fasts, which are not as severe, none of the Kohanim who aren't called that week fast. No one fasts. What we call that entire mishmar, the entire mishmar, which is the group of Kohanim whose week that is, none of them fast that day. Shalosh Nios, what about the second set of three fast days? Anshei Mishmar Mis'anin V'lo Mashlimin. So also the people of the Mishmar, i.e. the people who are on call, but whose day, but are not working that day. So they go out and they fast, but they need not complete the fast in its entirety. V'anshei Beisav, and the people who are on call that day, Lo Hayu Mis'anin Klal, would not fast at all. Sheva Achronos, however, again, what about the last set of seven fast days? Anshei Mishmar Mis'anin Mashlimin. Rabbi said, the people who are on call, but it's not their day. They fast the entire day. V'anshei Beis Av Mis'anin V'lo Mashlimin. But the people who are on call that day, they fast, but they do not complete the fast in its entirety. So we'll say, now once we went ahead and we brought up the discussion about what the Kohanim on call do and don't do, so the Mishnah uses this as an opportunity to speak about some of the other halachos. So, we'll say we're in Tes Vav Amud Bey's second wide line on the daf. Anshei Mishmar, similarly, we'll say again, the Kohanim who are on call, Mutarin Lishtos Yayin Balayla, Aval Yob Lo B'yamim. They are permitted to drink wine at night, but not during the day. Remember, again, a Kohen cannot do the Avodah if he drinks even just a revius of wine. So the Mishnah says like this, at night, the Anshei Mishmar, remember again, Anshei Mishmar who? The Kohanim were on call that week, but it's not their particular day. They could drink at night, since again, there's no active Avodah done at night. But they can't drink by day. Why can't they drink by day? Because it was, as you said before, there's always the possibility that what? There's going to be a heavy volume of karbanos, and they are going to need to help the on-call family. V'anshei beis av, but Rabbi say again, the people, the family who's literally on-call that day, lo bayom v'lo balayla. They may not drink that day, nor may they drink that night. Because Rabbi say again, even though, remember, there's no technical avod, there's no sacrificial service at night. What was done at night was the burning of the leftover fats and limbs. That's a form of avoda also. Therefore, because they were working at night, they were not permitted to drink white wine at night as well. Similarly, anshe mishmar v'anshe ma'amod asurin milisaper umilakabes. They both say the people of the mishmar, which means again, that refers to the seven Kohanic families who were on call that particular week, are not permitted to go ahead and take a haircut, and they're not permitted to launder their clothing. Rashi says over here, Astrum l'sapru l'chabes, mishenichnusu l'mishmar tam kol osa shabes, ela mistaprim kodim lachin. So we'll see Rabbi say why this is. But the idea is we want the Anshei Mishmar to take care of their grooming needs and their laundering needs prior to the start of their week of service. Rabbi say the Mishnah also includes over here, Anshei Ma'amad. So we'll discuss this more in depth in the Gemara, but the Anshei Ma'amad was very interesting. The halacha is that by karbanos, when you offer a karban, so the owner is supposed to be present at the time of offering. Technically speaking, there are two communal karbanos that are offered every single day. A tamid shel shachar, a morning tamid, and an afternoon tamid. Now technically, what should that require? That should require that all of Klal Yisrael is present in the Beis HaMikdash in the morning and the evening. So what Chazal set up was what's called Ma'amados. Ma'amados are groups of Yisraelim who are always present at the Beis HaMikdash, and they essentially serve as what? They serve as the shluchim, as the agents for Klal Yisrael. So it's like almost like it's like a mishmar of Yisraelim. So the same halacha applies to the Anshei Ma'amar as well. I'm sorry? Only Yisraelim. These were not Kohanim and Levim. Ubechamishi mutar. However, again, on Thursday, they were permitted to get a haircut or to launder their clothing. Mipnei kavod haShabbos. Out of kavod to Shabbos. Okay, fine. So so the Gemara stops there. So the Gemara now says, it brings up another topic. Kala kasuba Megillas Tainis. And I will say, we've discussed Megillas Tainis before. Megillas Tainis. Sorry about that. Thank you, Moshi. Thank you very much. It's like reality, Daf Yomi. Perfect. Oh, great. Thank you, Moshi. Megillas Tainis. Good. All right, so you can see Dr. Crumbine if you want to see Megillas Tainis. Remember, again, we've referenced Megillas Tainis before, that this was a list. It's actually interesting. You think it's a list of fast days. It's actually not what it is. Well, it's a list of days that were considered to be Yomim Tovim on which you were not permitted to fast. That's why it's called Megillas Tainis, interestingly enough. So again, it also had in there fast days as well. But the primary purpose of it were like these minor type of holidays in which Chazal said, don't fast, because again, the day has a tone of simcha attached to it. So the Gemara says the following, Kala Kasav Megillas Tainis, anything day that's written in Megillas Tainis, Delo the Mispeit, any day that's written in Megillas Tainis was considered to be a Yom Tov, and because it's a Yom Tov, you are not permitted to deliver eulogies on these days. We find this concept that any day that has like the fabric of a Yom Tov ultimately does not have eulogies, and therefore the halacha is lefanav aser, la'acharav mutar. What the Mishnah now suggests is, Rabbi, any day that was included in Megillas Tainis, it's not just the day itself that you're not allowed to eulogize, but what? You also can't eulogize the day before. However, you are permitted to what? You are permitted to go ahead and eulogize the day after. Rashi says over here, if you look at the Rashi, Kalakasa Megillas Tainis, the Lumispeid Bahon. So if you look at the last, couple of lines, he says, Vasurim Behespeid Lefanov, Asur Behespeid, Dilma Asila Me'avid Beyom Tov Gufei. So apparently, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lemaisa, the rabbis also said you can't give a eulogy on the day before these minor Yamim Tovim, out of concern that if we let you do it the day before, then what? You may come to do it the day of as well. Rabbi Yossi says, Lefanov ula acharav aser. Rabbi Yossi said, actually, no, the halacha is that you may not give a eulogy on the day before these days, and what? And on the day after these days. So Erev Yom Tov and Isru Chag. So the Gemara goes weiter. Delo lehis ana lefanov ula, excuse me. I'm sorry. It goes from Tainis alatzibur b'tchila b'chamishi shalav kia sharm. Another interesting point. You cannot declare the start of a public fast day on a Thursday in order not to drive up prices. And I'll say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Sholav kia esas sharim kisharoin ba'ali chanuyos shekonin lemotzai yom chamishi shtei sudos gidolos. Achos l'leil chamishi, v'achos l'shabis, svurim sheba ra'av li'olam, umiyakrim umafkim hashar. Well, this is very interesting. So remember, not every store owner was Jewish. So what's going to happen? If you can imagine, so the Gentile store owners see that on Thursday night, the Jews are coming and they're buying, the Jews are coming, right? And they're buying massive amounts of food. Now, why are they buying massive amounts of food? Because they need two big sudos, because they're Jewish. That's number one. And number two, they're buying even more food now because they have to break their fast on Thursday night. And they also have to buy a suuda for Shabbos. What could happen? It could cause panic. The merchants might think, look, the Jews control the world anyway, including, again, when there's famine. The Jews obviously know something that no one else knows. So what happens? Famine must be coming. And what is that going to do, Rabbi Yossi? That's going to cause an incredible spike in food prices. So therefore, the Gemara says, don't start public fast days on Thursdays. Instead, when should you start them? Start them on Mondays. So that's why, again, remember, fast days work on a Monday-Thursday model. So therefore, that way, if you're starting the series of fast days on a Monday, by the time you get to Thursdays, everyone knows, including the Gentile shopkeepers, that what? That the Jews are fasting. And they recognize the fact that the Jews are buying a lot of food. It has nothing to do with famine coming to the world, and it won't adversely affect the prices.
Could you they're not buying as much?
No, because they know that it's a fast day. They know that when they come on Thursday night and they're purchasing two large quantities of food, it's because they fasted today, not because, again, there's any kind of famine. Because, again, they've already heard about this process of fasting already starting from the previous Monday. So the Gemara says the following, Ela, shalosh ta'anios harishonos sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Rather, again, the first set of three fast days should be organized on a Monday, Thursday, Monday model. V'shalosh shenios, and the second set of three fast days, chamishi v'sheni v'chamishi. So we'll say, interesting enough, the first opinion of the Mishnah says, this is only a concern with the first set of fast days. Because again, the shopkeepers might not know about the fast. By the time you get to the second round of fast, the shopkeeper is already familiar with the fast days, and therefore what? You could even go ahead and begin it on a Thursday. However, Rabbi Yossi says no. Kashem Shein Gozrin. Kashem Shein Arishonos Bechamishi. Kach Lo Shnios Velo Acharonos. Rabbi Yossi says no, it's not true. You should never start the fast days. Both the first set of three, the second set of three, as well as the last set of seven, should never be started on a Thursday in order not to drive up the prices, but they should always be started on a Monday. We do not declare public fast days on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim. These are all rabbinic holidays. However, if they initiated a series of fasts, and let's say again one of those fasts fell out on one of these days, Ein mafsikin divrei Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says we do not stop the fast, and we let them fast. And I will say, we will see exactly what this refers to. Rashi points out over here, he says, V'mischilu shekiblu tanis mikodim lochem, v'nichnas ben rosh chodesh, ein mafsikin, da'afakav dikrimo lo ksibei mishta v'simcha. I will say, Panshos, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, not for Chanukah and Purim. For Chanukah and Purim, you will never fast. But if, let's say, you initiated a series of fast days, and one of those fast days happens to fall out on Rosh Chodesh, so as much as Lechatchila, we do not fast on Rosh Chodesh, if Rosh Chodesh falls out in the middle of the series of these fast days, we will still go ahead and fast. Amar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, Afa pish Amar Rabbi Gamliel in mafsikin, moda haya she'in mashlimin. Even though Rabbi Gamliel said that what? That if Rosh Chodesh fell out in the middle of these three fasts, we would still fast. However, again, Rabbi Gamliel also agrees that what? That you would not complete the fast. Right? Meaning that you would go ahead and you would end the fast sometime before nightfall. V'chein Tisha B'Av Shechalios Be'erev Shabbos. And I both said the same thing would apply with what? With Tisha B'Av, which again for us now is a calendrical impossibility. But again, in the old days with Kiddush HaChodesh, it was a possibility that if Tisha B'Av fell out, if Tisha B'Av fell out on Friday, so what would happen? They would fast, obviously, but they would not fast all the way until Shabbos. They would end the fast a little bit before nightfall on Friday. Says the Gemara, Seder Ta'anios Ketza. So remember again, the Mishnah began by talking about what's the order of the fast days. So the Mishnah said we take out the ark to the street, the ark onto the street. And this is true even when? This is true even in the first set of three fast days. Mar says, Raminu, is that true? Shalosh ta'anios rishonos ushnios nichnos lebe sakneses umispalin kederach umispalin kalashon akula. But yet the Brisa says that what? For the first two sets of three fast days, we enter into the shul and we daven the same way we daven throughout the year. However, ubesheva achronos, when it comes to the last seven fast days, then Mosin as a Teva the Rechova, Shalir, we take the ark out to the city, to the street of the city. Venosin Efra Gabi Ateva, we put ashes on the top of the ark, Ubrosh Hanasi Brosh Avbezdin, and on the head of the Nasi, on the head of the head of the Bezdin, on the head of the Avbezdin, Vichol Echad the Echa Notel Venosin Brosho. And every person takes ash and places it on their head. So Rabbi Nasan Omer, Efra Maklehin Mevin. So the Gemara says, Efer Makle Mevian. So Rabbi Nosson says that they bring Efer Makle. We'll see exactly what that means a little bit later on. Amra Papa, Kitnan Nami. So we'll say, the point is, there's a contradiction. Why? Because our Mishnah makes it sound like, when did they move the Aron out into the street? When? Even from the beginning, from the first set of three fast days. The Bryce explicitly says that when did they move the Aron into the street? Only the last seven, to which the Gemara says, no contradiction. Rapapa, Amra Papa, Kitnan Nami Masnisin Asheva Achronosnan. You're right. Our Mishnah, when it speaks at the moving out of the Aron, also is referring to what? The last seven fast days. Is not referring to the first six. The Gemara goes weiter. Uberosh ha-nasi. Remember again, the Mishnah said they place ash on the head of the nasi. V'hadir tani kol echad ve'echad notel v'nosim b'rosho. But yet again, afterwards, we see that, what does the Mishnah say? So we put on the head of the nasi, and then what does it say? It says that we go ahead and everybody puts on their heads as well. So I mean, like, what's the big deal over here? Why do you have to point out that they're putting on the heads of the nasi if the Mishnah says afterwards that what? Everyone is placing ashes on their heads. If everybody's placing ashes on their head, obviously the nasi is included in everyone as well, to which the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Is this so? And I will say, what the Gemara is essentially asking is the following. What the Gemara is saying is that Lemaisa, even though everyone is putting on their head, what the Mishnah clearly is saying is what? Is that the Nasi puts it on his head first. The Nasi does it before everyone else, and then everyone else follows suit. So the Gemara says, is that true? That the Nasi should be going ahead and placing the ash on his head first. Fatana, we learned. Rebbe says, Bigidula maschilin min agadol, or biklala maschilin min akatan. Excuse me, maschilin min akatan. Rebbe says that when it comes to gidula, Rashi says over here, mitzvah ba'alma shalala polonos. When it comes to good things, demonstrations of blessing, demonstrations of honor, we begin from the greatest person. When it comes to klala, matters of punishment or negativity, we begin with the lowest person. Where do we see this? Bigidula maschilin min agadol. When it comes to matters of greatness, we begin with the greatest individual. Shneamar vayomer Moshe el Aaron ule Elazar ule Itamar. So what's that? Because the pasuk says that Moshe said to Aaron Elazar Itamar. Now this happens to be after the death of Nadav and Avihu. Moshe is giving the instructions about not to engage in any of the behavioral displays of mourning. But the point is what? That who does Moshe begin talking to? He begins to Aaron, and then Elazar and Itamar afterwards. So you see again that here this is a display of what we call Gidula, because this is Moshe conveying the word of God. And here you see Moshe beginning with the greatest one, his brother, and then working his way down the chain. However, again, Biklala Maschil Min Akatan, how do we know again that when it comes to matters of Klala, curse, negativity, punishment, we begin with the lower one. The Amar Mar Betchila Niskalel Nachash, VaAcher Kach Niskalel Chava, VaAcher Kach Niskalel Adam. Because we'll say again in the aftermath of the sin of the Eitz Das Tov Hara, who is cursed first? The Nachash. So you see from here with matters of negativity, ultimately again, the Nachash is dealt with first. So we'll say, so what's the Kasha? We assume that what? That the placement of the ash is something negative. So we would assume that who should go first? The regular people. And who should go last? The Nasi. And yet, again, what does the Mishnah say? The Nasi has the ash placed on his head first. What's the Pshat? Well, it's very profound. Ho chashivus ledidohu. No, in fact, again, it's actually chashivus. It's actually something important. It's actually a display of chashivus for the Nasi to have the ash placed on his head first. Why? Da amri lahu, because essentially what we say to the Nasi is asun chashivusu. You are so important. Lemi boi alon rachami akule alma. You are so important that what? That literally you can daven on behalf of everyone else. By placing the ashes on the head of the Nasi, what we are saying is that essentially you are the equivalent of the entire populace. You are so important that if you were to truly petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain, if you were to put your heart into davening for Klal Yisrael, then ultimately, again, you would be successful on our behalf. The Mishnah goes on and says the following. Hasinat, actually, we'll stop over here. Okay, so we'll pick up over here, Amir Hashem, tomorrow. All right, stay tuned to your email for what we're gonna do. It is a long daf, but let me take a look at it first. All right, also just a reminder, there is a Shiva minion again at Kozlovsky for whoever needs to get there. We'll give everybody a little bit of extra.